Is it wrong to judge another person? The answer to that and other questions on this edition of Key Life.
Hi, I'm Mike Kellogg, and you are now listening to Key Life, where you can find honest answers to honest questions about God's Word. Now, here is Steve.
Thanks, Mike. My pastor, Pete Alwinson, has come in, as he generally does on Friday, to help answer these questions. I appreciate that, Pete. I know how busy a pastor's life is, and that you would take your time is one of the major gifts that you give to Key Life, aside from being on the board and traveling with us some and doing a lot of neat stuff. So thanks.
Well, the ministry really obviously needed some help at some point. Yeah. And
you're right. You're being facetious, yeah, but you're right. Absolutely right. Hey, listen, we'd love to get your questions, but you've got to write them down. Send them to Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or you can email your questions, steve@keylife.org, but include your regular mailing address if you want a response. You always get a response from me or a staff member on the broadcast or in the magazine. And as always, don't use the 1-800-KEY-LIFE number for questions. Well, you can ask them, you just won't get an answer. You've got to make orders there. You can get the magazine free. Key Life tapes free, the pamphlets and booklets free. Or you can make a contribution, but the questions you have to write down, and the only dumb ones, the one you don't ask. Pete, would you lead us in prayer, and then we'll get to some of these questions.
Father, we bow in your presence right now, and we stop and remember that we belong to you, and that you first came after us. Thank you, Lord, that that when we didn't know what to do with our sin or our guilt or our shame, when we didn't have direction in life, when we were in the midst of great pain, you showed us the reality that you created us, that you redeemed us, and that you loved us, and that you still hold on to us. You'll never let us go. Thank you that you judged our sin in your Son, and that we belong to you, and that you're not angry at us anymore. So, Father, we ask that you would continue to do in our lives what you want to develop us, help us to give ourselves completely to you and to trust you and to know that you're good and that you always will be. Father, we look forward to the weekend, to worship with your people, and Lord, to come into your presence and give you praise. So be with our priests and pastors, teachers, leaders, pastoral families, and the kids of ministers, Lord. Give them your strength and mercy. Help those who speak to say what they need to say with boldness and clarity, but with love. And then, Lord, we thank you for Key Life. Thank you for the ministry that you've given to Steve, the creative way of communicating the gospel of Christ. And we just pray that you bless this ministry, continue to use it, and make us open to your word at all times. We commit these things to you now as we answer questions. We pray you'd be in it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pete, this first question is from one of yours two favorite places in the world, Ontario, Canada.
Yeah.
We had a great seminar.
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah, I did too. Anyway, this person says, is it wrong to judge another person? Is it wrong to point out evil for what it is, evil?
The second one's easier to answer. Is it wrong to point out evil for what it is, evil? No. It's not. It's never wrong to do that. Now, there might be a way to do that that would be better than others. Is it wrong to judge another person?
Do you think that Jesus, when he said, judge not, that you be not judged, and then he went on to talk about you've got this big old plank in your own eye, and you're trying to take a splinter out of your brother's eye kind of stuff. Do you think he meant we're just to be blind? If you decided to go rob a bank, am I supposed to just kind of look away and pretend you didn't do it?
No, I think that's a good question. My take on this, and I want to hear yours, my take is that he's saying basically don't judge the motives of another person. Other places in Scripture, it's clear that you know, elders have to judge members in terms of making decisions about them for leadership or for standing for office.
Yeah.
that you will know them by their fruits is sort of a clear statement. It's if I judge your motive, oh, Steve did this because he wanted this to happen.
Yeah.
And it was,
he's so greedy, or he's so...
Yeah, I don't know that.
Well, why? What kind of motive would cause you to rob a bank?
Yeah,
need to feed your family.
It could be, but on the other, you can judge the behavior and then be punished for the behavior.
Yeah. What about I never thought of that. I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. But also, it's been said in some of the commentaries that passage about judging other people means unto salvation.
And could
be that too.
Saying they're not saved because they did that. Well, they couldn't be a Christian because he robbed from that bank or whatever.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And I sometimes think that it's an attitudinal thing, that we who are pure and righteous will judge those who are not pure and righteous.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we do that, it solicits anger and condemnation,
mm-hmm.
All kinds of bad stuff. But once we recognize that we who are not pure and who are not righteous are pointing out, as we would hope that you would point out with us in those areas where we need to make a change,
mm-hmm.
I think that can be received differently.
Yeah.
That we're beggars telling other beggars not only where we found bread, but why we're beggars.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's why church discipline in the church is so hard for Christians to accept, because they say, well, you're judging me. And the Bible says, don't judge.
Yeah.
Well, we're elders, and we're supposed to, point out the error of your way, but that doesn't mean we think we hung the moon.
Yeah.
Or that we don't have any sin.
You know, one time, Jack Miller, it's a story I think about a lot. I think of him often. He was a teacher at Westminster and one who taught grace and kind of a mentor to a lot of us that did that, at least in his teaching. He said he was a pastor of a church, and have you heard the story? This woman knocked on the door. They were getting ready to have a session meeting, and they opened the door, and this woman's standing there, and they said, can we help you? And she said, yes, I've come to confess my sins. They said, what? Said, I need to confess my sins. Can I do it before the elders? And so they said, well, whatever floats your boat. So she came in, sat out, and confessed her sins. And he said, then they prayed for her, and after it was over, Jack said, one of the elders said with great wisdom, now, what can you teach us? Because only those who are repentant have anything to say.
Wow.
And so there's a sense in which only as we walk it, aware of our own sins and aware of our own failures, that we can speak to that of other people.
Mm.
And speak in a way that can be heard.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
That's a good story.
That is.
That's pretty heavy. Yeah, right. That's about all we know on the subject, you think?
We Bible-toting evangelicals do think that we do kind of carry this supercilious, super spiritual attitude sometimes.
Yeah.
And, I didn't write.
I know it is. And, it's not right when I see it in me. I get that way. Somebody said, you're a Pharisee about Pharisees. And I began to think, well, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like that. I'm not a Pharisee. And then I realized, whoops. So, good point. Why, this is from Washington State, why do we go through times of pain and suffering?
Well, the down and dirty answer to that is we live in a sinful, broken, messed up world that Jesus has redeemed and will one day come back and, as you often say, clean up the mess. But right now, we're in the midst of it, and Christians are not immune.
But sometimes God allows that in order to bring us to himself or to keep us walking it right, chastening our discipline.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, I think so.
But you would say, if you met somebody who had cancer, God is really whacking you, so you'll be a better person.
I might not say that right away, but if it was a brother that I knew, I might, because of that James passage.
Yeah.
That talks about if there's a sickness, if you confess your sin, they'll be healed. I don't think that's a normative thing that always, if you do this, then that will happen.
Yeah.
But I think it means that sometimes God uses sickness to slow us down and get our attention. And I don't know, am I off there?
I agree.
I wouldn't say obviously you've sinned in a major way.
A couple of years ago, I think this insight was from him, but sounded like him, could have been Rich Little. I don't know of it. But I really think this, it was, and I guess I got it from somebody else. I just don't remember who. And it felt right when I was teaching it that the reason we go through all of this, whatever it is that is so painful, is that God is bringing us to the end of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And when we get to the end of ourselves, then his power is made perfect in weakness. I was talking to a friend of mine who's a Bible teacher, and he was very sick and wanted to know whether he should go ahead and teach. And then he said, "Nah, I'll do it." He said, "Some of the best stuff I've ever taught when I was so sick, I didn't think I could do it." And maybe that's kind of a metaphor for why we go through some hard stuff.
I agree. I think it's we go through the idealism of youth where we think we can do it all.
Yeah.
When we're young pastors or young Christians, we think we can do it, and we can't. And until he brings us to the end of ourselves, I agree with that. He's got to bring us to the end of ourselves.
And then do you sometimes, and I mean, probably you a lot more than me, because we've got a lot of really bad stuff in our church with some of our people. When do you ever just say, "I don't know"? I mean, this is awful. If I were God, you wouldn't be so sick. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I just got to say that God's good all the time, even when I don't understand.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. There's a lot of times that we just don't know. We get down on our knees and leave it to him. We're not going to know everything until we get to heaven. We'll figure it out.
That's true. Okay, what is the relationship between Passover and the cross of Christ?
Well, boy, the imagery is powerful, isn't it?
Yeah.
To put the Egyptian.
It's from Ohio, by the way.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of great people. I'm thinking while we answer that.
Yeah, well, I didn't mean to interrupt you. You were saying something really good.
Yeah, I think. But the imagery is tremendous from the Old Testament on. Before they left Egypt, they had to put the blood of the lamb over the doorpost of their house, and then God passed over the Israelites who did that. Spared their life and killed everybody else, the firstborn of the house, and
the lamb that died so that they could do that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And so when John the Baptist saw Jesus for the first time, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world."
That's good. There's a lot of connection. God was setting us up for His big act. We knew when He came, we went, "Oh, that's what he was talking about." And there's a major connection. Well, that's it for today. Will you come back next Friday?
Yeah.
I haven't offended you or anything. Cool. Listen, guys, Key Light is a listener-supported production of Key Light Network.